Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea. Anthony Brooks and Meghna Chakrabarty are both out today. There are things that Bostonians believe about themselves. They figure we have the craziest drivers, the most out-of-control housing costs, the most corrupt politicians. But people in New York or Chicago or D.C. might think the same things about their city, though I suspect we do have the craziest drivers thing cornered. WBUR was a partner in a survey called the State Integrity Investigation, evaluating all 50 states in terms of their risk for public corruption. And our reporter, Deborah Becker, is here to tell us how Massachusetts really stacks up. Hi, Deb.
Hello there.
First of all, this survey looked at the risk of corruption, not actual corruption investigations, arrests, or convictions, though it seems like we do have plenty of those. What does risk mean in this context, and why are we measuring it?
Well, the organizers of the survey, Adam, were the Center for Public Integrity, mm-hmm. Global Integrity, and Public Radio International. They came up with ways to use data to try to objectively measure things like transparency and anti-corruption. So essentially what they did was they said, we are going to measure what kinds of measures are already in place to prevent corruption and how those stack up against other states, measuring the medicine against corruption, if
okay.
you will.
The survey measured each state in 14 different categories, and Massachusetts didn't do very well.
Not very well. 10th overall, C grade of about 74%. We should say no state received an A grade. There were 330 so-called corruption risk indicators that were looked at across 14 categories of government. The main issues or the main weaknesses, you might say, that this report found was that Massachusetts did not do very well in terms of access to public records and the state budget process. Now, Adam, that's not to say anything against Governor Patrick's new open checkbook on line, which is a tracking of government spending, because mm-hmm. we got high marks for that. What the survey cited was the way that state spending often ends up in budget amendments that are discussed out of public view and then voted on before the public even knows what happened.
You've talked with some people who have firsthand experience of this, right?
That's right, particularly in the public records arena, which was the focus of our first story. I spoke with Michael Morrissey. He is co-founder of the website muckrock.com. Now, he says he filed a request for data about food stamps usage in Massachusetts to try to see where food stamps were being used the most during the recession. This was public information. The Department of Transitional Assistance sends him the information. He posts it online. Let's hear what happened next.
A few weeks later, the state sent us an email saying that the data was erroneously released and that not removing the data could subject me to a $1,000 fine or a year in jail.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. So Morrissey responded with a lawyer. He has not heard back from the state since. He basically says, Adam, that his group has filed hundreds of Freedom of Information requests all over the country, really, requests for public records. And he says Massachusetts is the worst at providing an accurate and on-time response.
So is anyone on Beacon Hill, state officials, legislators, reacting to the findings of the survey?
Interestingly, the overseer of public records, Secretary of State William Galvin, would not comment on transparency in public records. Inspector General Gregory Sullivan, whose job it is to investigate possible fraud in state government, says he thinks the state really should get a bit higher grade. He says we do pretty well, he thinks, but when it comes to public records, he admits there are some issues. He says the laws about public records, one issue, and the other is the manpower needed to fulfill requests for public records. But laws are really Sullivan's issue. He says they need to be made more transparent. Let's listen.
It's a daunting task, and I think it should be reformed. I think that transparency is the biggest key to allow the public to help participate and reform the government.
So Massachusetts isn't the best in terms of public corruption or risk of public corruption, but it's also not the worst. Why does it feel like it is, though, Deb? I mean, we've had all of the Sal DeMacy down on the line. I mean, just so many corruption trials and investigations.
Right. Three House speakers, right, convicted, you know, all kinds of high-profile scandals. Basically, what this survey says is that Massachusetts has made some significant reforms because of those scandals. And so that's why we really did well. We've got some strong measures in place to fight it. That's why we catch it.
So we catch it, whereas other states might be sort of blissfully unaware of how much their politicians are on the take.
That's right.
And this report is just the jumping off point for this whole project, right? So what's next for the state integrity investigation, Deb?
Well, each station that participated, WBUR included, will do 5 stories about this investigation and the results and look at some of the anti-corruption measures and what they mean for each state.
And I understand there's a legislative committee having a meeting about this very issue tomorrow, perchance.
Tomorrow on access to public records. That's right. That's tomorrow. And there are about 7 to 10 bills that will be taken up tomorrow.
Deborah Becker is our reporter here at WBUR. Deb, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The state integrity investigation was conducted by the Center for Public Integrity, Public Radio International, and Global Integrity. You can see the results for yourself. We have a link at our website, radioboston.org.